You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, we're joined today by the VI journalist and author of a Metro article published recently entitled I Don't Want to Hear How Much I've Accomplished in Spite of My Disability, Emily Davison. Thank you very much for joining us. So, for anybody who's not come across this article, give us a little bit of background about what it's about, because it's a really interesting piece.
So, essentially, the piece is talking about the language that people use around disability and this kind of rhetoric that we hear a lot that, you know, your disability doesn't define you, you know, whatever you've achieved is in spite of your disability. And for me, the article is really to talk about the idea of why is it such a bad thing to say that a disability does define us? Because, you know, it's under this premise that it's a bad thing if your disability does have an impact on you in any way and if it does define you. But my argument is that in this article, well, many things in our life define us for different reasons. And, you know, the things that usually define us are our life experiences and the things that maybe are difficult in our life, but they still define us in some way because they've had an impact on us and we've experienced them, we've gone through them. And disability is just one of those things that does define us. And it's not to say that it wholly defines you as a person, because nothing ever wholly defines you, but it's to say that it does define you in some way, and that's not a bad thing, because I think for a lot of people who live with a disability, it actually teaches you a lot about what you're capable of and what you're about as a person. And I don't think that's a bad thing to say, actually my disability does define me, and to actually go against what I think society projects a lot of the time, which is that a disability is a bad thing and anything a person does that is remotely good is done to spite that disability, which is something I'm not personally in favour of, and it's something I wanted to talk about in this article.
It's quite an interesting point as well, because it makes it sound like such a negative thing, and like you say, no one thing is going to define you, but it's all part of your lived experience.
Well, yeah, and I think it's like anything defines us, you know, like, but it doesn't solely define who you are. You know, I'm not only defined because I'm a woman or because I'm from London or, you know, because I have a background in English. You know, they're not the only things that define me, but they all are building blocks to who you are as a person. And I think my disability is one of those things. And I think it does have a profound impact on me, and it does have a huge, you know, sway on the person that I have become. And I don't think that's a bad thing in any way. And I think it's something that our community, I think, should be able to reclaim and say, actually, no, you know, my disability does define me, but don't think that I'm saying that in a bad way. I'm just taking note of what my disability has, you know, made me have to face in my life, and I'm saying I'm actually kind of proud of that. I'm proud that I've done these things in my life. I'm proud that I just am me, and that it's a part of me. And it's just, why shouldn't we be proud just being who we are as a person, as a whole person, not even for just one thing? But why should we say, you know what, I am who I am and everything that comes with it, and you know what, I have a disability and that's fine, and I'm proud of that as well. I'm happy to be me. I'm content in myself.
Absolutely. So when we're talking a lot about sort of defining oneself, I mean, identity is quite a hot topic at the minute. How important has it been for you to think about how your disability impacts on your identity, and has that relationship changed over the years? Because it sounds like it has.
It definitely has, actually. I'm writing some kind of creative writing projects at the moment, and one of them is kind of where I'm writing to my disability as if it was a direct person. And it's interesting, because for me it's very cathartic, because I've seen how my attitude and my relationship with this part of myself has changed. And I think definitely when I was younger, you know, I just saw it as this oppressor and just this thing that had been put upon me and was stopping me from living my life. And I think when I look back, it's largely because I wasn't living in a world that was fit for me at the time, and because I didn't have the things that I have now, like my guide dog, and I didn't have, you know, access to things like, you know, even things like the smartphones and the devices that are around now compared to even when I was a lot younger, very different, stark contrast. And I think that it's just changed my attitude, because I've just really begun to see how much the social model of disability is a true thing, and how if, for example, we lived in a world that had every amenity for a disabled person at, you know, just our disposal, I think a lot of us probably we wouldn't feel the some resentment that we can do towards a disability, because we would just live in a world that's made for us. So I think it's definitely helped me to kind of see just how much society and the things in society can impact the way that you introspectively view your disability, for certain.
And speaking of sort of the barriers that are put in the way in society and with accessibility, you did another article recently, again for the Metro, which is all about voting, and it was published last Thursday when the UK took to the polls for the local elections. You voted by post, but you voted in person too. You've had experience with both of those things. So tell us a little bit about the journey that you've been on with voting and how you ended up deciding that postal votes was the way you were going to go.
Well, for me, it was just because I been a voter in person for a number of years. In the past I've usually gone with fan members just because it's easier and they've helped me to vote, and that's always been how I've done things. But obviously, you know, my parents work, I work, we work different hours, and that's not always possible. And I think I just started to realize when I went there and would ask for the polling slips, I'd ask for like accessible means to vote, like for example the large print ballot papers and the tactile markers to be able to distinguish different, you know, voting options and stuff like that. They didn't have them available on several occasions when I went, and it just really got to a point where I was very uncomfortable having a complete stranger come in and be able to physically see which party I was voting for and to have to trust them to guide my hand to the box to put a cross on it. And, you know, for me, that was just something I was not comfortable with. And I felt that I deserved the right to vote in privacy like everybody else. And I think that was why, in the end, I decided to vote by post, just because it meant I could use my assistive devices and just do it at home and not have to face that worry. And I think that was the decision I came to. But, you know, at the end of the day, I can vote, and I'm happy that I've made the decision I have. I just wish that I hadn't had to do that, because there was no, for me, I felt like there was no other means to be able to vote independently.
And the two topics that we've just discussed now, which are the articles that are in the Metro about the accessibility for voting and also sort of being defined by disability and almost like inspiration porn a little bit. And these are topics that maybe the people who don't have a personal relationship with anybody with a disability might not even know about. And the fact that you've been able to write about these in the Metro, which is a very, very popular newspaper, it will hopefully make an impact on people who aren't aware. Is that something that was important to you when you decide what you're going to write about?
I think that for me, it was something that I wanted to talk about. And I've written before for the Metro about other things to do with, you know, the topic of menstruation when you are visually impaired, which is kind of a bit of a taboo subject, but it was something that the Metro wanted to commission, and I've pitched other articles to them. And I think these two particularly, they were, for me, they were on subjects that I think that a lot of people who are not from the disability community would have a lot of awareness on. And especially the first one for me really was something I was very passionate about, because I think a lot of people have a very skewed idea of what it means to be disabled, and I think it was just something very important to me. And then the one on voting, I think it was just something I suggested, and the editors were very on board with that. And again, it's something that we're still seeing a lot of people talk about on online and social media, talking about how they didn't have an accessible voting experience. And I just felt like an article, you know, in a first person's perspective about what it's actually like to vote as a legally blind voter was something that I think there wasn't a lot of out there.
Absolutely. And the two great articles, you can find them on the Metro's website. Emily, what's coming up in the next couple of weeks, and where can we find you online if we want to follow you?
So I've recently written two articles for the New Shopper actually today. They've both gone up, not on disability, on other news stories, but hopefully you'll see more. But for anyone who wants to see any of my work and my journalism work, I'm always posting about it on my Instagram, which is fashioneister2012. Or my Twitter, which is @DavisonM. So if any of you are interested in seeing any more of my work, I always post what I'm doing on there as well.
Great stuff, Emily. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.